six, five, four. We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Shelby, and this is the Off the Charts episode of 80s Pop Tops. This week, we'll be discussing MTV's launch, the very early beginnings of it, and what became of it. Now, as you all heard with my intro that I changed for this week, MTV started on midnight, August 1st, 1981. And when it was launched at that time, it had a very small reach, mostly in parts of New Jersey and a couple parts of the Midwest, from what I remember, like Oklahoma. A very small launch. And when they also began, they only had 100 videos to start. This was kind of an issue because if you're going to have a channel that plays 24 hours of music videos, you need music videos. So at launch, with 100 videos they had, they kind of repeated a bunch. Everybody knows that the first song that they played was A Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles, a song that actually was released in 1979 and did nothing, if not much. Nobody really knew about it, so that's the one that they picked to play. They also had a bunch of Rod Stewart songs. They had a song from Pat Benatar, which was the second song that video they played, and they kind of just rotated through that at the beginning, best they could, for their small audience they had at the time. What was really funny is they had gone to each of the record companies in the United States and asked them to give them their videos that they had, the small amount of videos they had. The record companies wanted them to pay, and they said, well, we're not going to pay for them. We don't have the money, and we're promoting your artist. Why should we be paying? We'll just put them on. You just give them to us for free, and we'll play them and it'll help your sales out, which was kind of proven with the Buggles since it had disappeared. Nobody had heard of them, but when MTV had started, they started to sell a little bit, so it kind of proved their point just a little bit. But that wasn't really the big problem. Not that they wouldn't be giving them away, even though they were kind of skinflint with paying back their money. The problem was American artists themselves had very little videos. They were mostly performance videos. There was very few of them to begin with, so there just wasn't content there. However, they were lucky. Across the pond, in Britain, there had been a show that had been playing for years. It was called Top of the Pops. Now, most of you may know of it, some of you may not, but it was like a weekly countdown show where they would have artists come on and perform. They'd count down the top songs of the week and stuff like that. They had been using videos for years, mainly because when they would do their weekly countdowns every week, they would play the songs or they would have these video clips that they would play as the songs were counted down. So artists over there were more used to putting out video content for their songs so that way they can get the exposure on that show weekly. So MTV went over there and started getting these more obscure British acts that they had all these video content that they would be able to start filling up their channel. Especially when they started expanding to other markets in the United States, they needed more than the little bit of content they had. So when this started happening, it broke newer music to most American audiences. I mean, a lot of the stuff that they had brought over would not have gotten play on the radio stations because the radio stations in the United States back then, as I had discussed before, were very insular with the record companies. The record companies would pay to have certain things played. They would push certain things, hold things back, you know, manipulating the music charts for the certain kinds of music. It was like flooded with ballads and country crossovers. Very, very vanilla, very similar. There wasn't much difference to it. So this, when MTV started and they had to bring all these artists on, people started getting used to other styles of music. So this is what started happening. They started putting on different stuff people got interested in, and it invented this new second British invasion of new wave, new romantic acts. So what I'm going to go is I'm going to go through artist by artist of an example. There's just so much stuff on here. I could not get all of it. I do have a playlist you'll be able to listen to after this, which has a lot more of it. but I'm going to play some of the better ones or more of the more known artists. So let's take a listen to our one of the first biggest users of MTV that helped them in an amazing way. That was Duran Duran. This was, when people think of MTV, at least for me, this is one of the main groups that comes to mind. Their first album, which this song was taken off of, came out in about 1982, right around the time that MTV launched. The video for this song, Girls on Film, is one of the more notorious videos ever made. Now, if you happen to have seen the unedited version of this video, okay. As Simon Le Bon said, it's amazing what a hard nipple will do for you as far as getting yourself known. MTV never played the unedited version of this video, and the edited version, after a while, they only played after a certain time at night because of America's puritanical ways, but we're not going to get into that right now. So this kicked off Duran Duran. Now, this album also had Planet Earth. Is There Something I Should Know? So it did okay. So it started kicking them off, and as they sales started climbing in the places that MTV had came out, they started doing well. And when their second album was released in the late 1983, and the song Hungry Like the Wolf came out, it kicked this group off into the stratosphere. And they had two or three more albums and have actually been making music consistently for a while. I mean, there's hits in the 90s. They even did well into the 2000s. They tore constantly, and they hung around more than people gave them the old style versus substance arguments. People thought they would be a flash in the pan, wouldn't be around very long. Now, as far as recommendations go, they did put out a sort of greatest hit album called Arena. And with that, they did it like a video, like a little video thing of live performances of their greatest hits. If you have seen that or haven't, I get you should. It's one of my favorite, like, concerts, videos, things. It's very entertaining. It shows you where they got their name from as well. It also contains the best version of their song, Reflex is a different group. We'll get to that shortly. Reflex. It was considered a night version, 12-inch dance version. That is the best version of that song. So if you haven't heard that, seek that out on Spotify. It's real easy to find. I just think it's a much disco dance club version of that song. Makes it so much better than the original, not that the original is bad. Definitely you should check that one out. Now, besides Duran Duran, which did real well, there was another group that very much benefited from MTV and kicked off their career. This could be the best place yet, but you must overcome your fears. Ooh, in time, it could have been so much more. The time is precious, I know. In time, it could have been so much more. The time. That was Culture Club. That was their first big hit, Time Clock of the Heart, off their album Kissing to Be Clever. When this came out, again in the early 80s, this was another facet of the early videos and movement that MTV had kicked off. These was a completely different look than most people were used to in the United States. It was like a complete look. This was the new romantic movement, the either really dapper or androgynous new wave. It was a completely different thing than most of the Americans were used to in their old, you know, boring, set in their ways kind of stuff. So it didn't cause a controversy, but it was just well known. Culture Club, again, this album was wonderful. This also had Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? And then the next album, Color by Numbers, had Karma Chameleon, of course. And did real well. This is one of, well, if I'm playing all these, you know I like them pretty much. But when you think of the 80s, these are two of the bigger groups you would think of that did well. And to this day, they still tour. I actually saw them last year. We could still go out and watch concerts. They were there, and he still has a good voice and still did well. So, hey, as much as people back then thought this wouldn't last or would be a flash in the pan type stuff, it isn't. And it's just remind you of that time when all that stuff was out there. Now, you may have heard me use this word a couple times, new romantic. This was the new wave, new romantic sound. New wave is, from what I had heard, kind of considered like the pop, the softer pop offshoot of punk. The people that didn't want to do the hardcore punk stuff, they did more of a pop style synthesized music, and it was kind of turned into new wave. And out of new wave, you had this smaller subset of British that started in the late 70s called New Romantic, Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, Culture Club, Adamant. This was their style, and it was just not only was it a kind of music synthesized heavy beats, but it was a look. The androgynous makeup, making a big style presentation as well as the music you were doing. So they went out there, and when we went over to get those videos that the top of the pops had been showing, this is the stuff they imported, and this is the stuff all the American kids started getting into, and it started taking over. Now, I had mentioned a couple of the other ones a minute ago. Let's listen to a
And
couple
all
of
the
them now.
waves head over heels went toe to toe. This is the sound of my soul. This is the sound. I bought a ticket to the world, but now I've come back again. Why do I find it hard to write the next line? Oh, I want the truth to be
That was True by Spandau Ballet. This was one of their new romantic sounds. A little less new wave, more new romantic. Not as synthy, but definitely a new style of that music. This was about 83 when it came out and hit our shores. Like I said, a very typical example of the new romantic sound. This song, personally, I remember when I was in fifth grade. This one reminds me of. Yeah, well, how much is a fifth year old? Hello. Fifth grader could have been lost in love when he would think about things that he really didn't know about yet. But this is what that one reminds me of. And in another style of the new romantic, more of a poppier sound, let's listen to this one. That was Goody Two Shoes by Adamant. Like I said, this was definitely the new romantic style. He came out with the makeup, make himself look like an Indian, the wild hair, the Napoleon looking outfits. It was the whole thing. This was like definitely one of the earlier videos that they used constantly was played because they didn't have much. So because of this got a lot of play in the United States and took off. Now, I did find out later from a friend of mine in college that the group was called Adam and the Ants before this song came out, and more of an underground or alternative. He was a little more well known at that point, so it wasn't completely out of the blue, but it wasn't until MTV that it took off and got more of a mainstream appeal to other people. So that's, like I said, this was the style that you were getting in the early 80s as all this new British, new romantic, new wave music was coming in. There was other things coming in as well. There was the ska type sound from like Madness that came in as well. And then there was also something else that was just starting, kind of took off in the late 70s with the disco experimentation with the disco sound. But with the more availability of synthesizers, more different types of electronic music were starting to be produced. As we'd find out later, it would take over big time towards the next decade. But you were starting to hear it come in, and one of those songs, and absolutely one of my favorites, is this one. That was Blue Monday by New Order. As you can tell, that was the beginning of the electronic dance sound that would be refined and changed into many, many different styles towards the end of the decade in the 90s and even through now. This song is one of the quintessential ones. When you hear it, you know when it was made. It's been used in movies like Atomic Blonde. It was used for the trailer for Wonder Woman 84. It's probably used in the movie as well. Shoot, it was even used in an ad for Call of Duty Cold War, which is set in Cold War in the 80s. So you hear Blue Monday, you must be talking about the 80s, which is because of that sound. It's because why it's more known now than it was when it even came out. This was, again, I don't think this one was played as much on MTV. It did a little bit because there was a video, but this is definitely one of your British invasion groups that brought in a whole other style that just was not being played on the radio and wouldn't have been unless it was forced by other things around or movements. So I definitely consider this a very important song that came out that time. Now, MTV also had another group that they kicked off. Not only would they kick off this group when they decided to break up in the mid-80s, they would take their lead singer and ride him for another 10-plus years. And let's kick it quickly now. Everything she wants is everything she sees. I guess I must have loved you. That was Everything She Wants by Wham. Wham was another big group that they broke out in the early 80s. Of course, everybody remembers Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go in their shirts and dancing around and how all the girls went gaga for George Michael. Yep, that happened. Well, they also went gaga for Michael Jackson, I remember. So, hey, those things happened. But Wham had a breakout album with this album. It was on Make It Big. This song, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, Freedom, and then the last one, which has a very, very well-known space in my heart for junior high school dance trauma, Careless Whisper. Now, what's odd about Careless Whisper, if you look at it, it's credited as George Michael featuring Wham, which I think is because Andrew Ridgely is not really on it. It's really almost considered George Michael's first solo song. It's weirdly credited that way, even though it's on the Wham album. And it was shortly after that, when they broke up in 85, he decided he was going to go out on his own and become a solo artist. And MTV jumped on his train then, too. And then you had him shaking his butt to Faith. And then he had the album that came out in the early 90s. When he was doing all the videos, which was Freedom 90, with all those supermodels. So he was around for a while. Yeah, they broke him out, because, again, I really don't think on his own, without any kind of help from the MTV breakout in the early 80s, terrestrial radio was just a little too much of a closed shop until it was busted open in the late 90s for a lot of these groups to make it out. I love this Wham. Like I said, Careless Whisper has a lot of meaning for me. So does the Faith album's pretty good. There's a bunch of songs on there that are good. I mean, I'm sure most of you probably all know this is probably nothing new, but if you should happen to have never heard those albums, give them a listen, which I seriously doubt you haven't if you're listening to this. Now, another group that came out in the early 80s from MTV was this group. They didn't have many hits, but they definitely, from Top of the Pops, was a pipeline into MTV, into the American mainstream success. And let's take a quick listen. That was Don't You Want Me by Human League. Human League, this was their breakout hit in 82. Was a big hit on the charts. Made it into the top five, so we'll be talking about it soon sometime. But this was definitely a group. I mean, like those documentaries I told you about on, you can find on YouTube for the Top of the Pops. They say Top of the Pops story of whatever year you're looking for. They're out there, so if you want to see them, you should. And they talk about this group. They found these two girls that were doing singing the backup were found at the end of their high school careers, and the man, I can't remember his name, was just a few years older, and they started bopping around England and doing these songs. And then again, when MTV needed the songs, they it's one of the ones they grabbed was this one, and it's made this a mega hit. They did have a few other ones. They did have Keep Feeling Fascination with another video where all I remember is the big red spot where everything looked red towards the end of it after they were finished singing. And they had a hit later on in the 80s, which was kind of funny. I found out later, was produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, the same two guys that would end up producing most of Janet Jackson's work. And they had a certain sound that if you listen to Human by the Human League and like some of Janet Jackson's song, they called it like, there's a rain sort of sound, like they called it. You can hear the production value. So they weren't a one-hit wonder. They were around for a couple years and did really well. So, like I said, the effects and the way things are, the things this had on the all music that was coming out completely changed the music industry starting in 82. Thank God we didn't have to keep listening to ballads and country crossovers because it would have gotten really boring really fast. Now, I want to go on to another. Now, this is considered more of a one-hit wonder, but this was such a big hit and such a big influence on more than just music in the United States. And when you hear this song, you know what I'm talking about. That was Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. This song was very prevalent in the early 80s. This was another thing that made those shirts. Frankie says Relax. All those shirts was influenced by this band and this song. This song was also used in the Brian De Palma movie Body Double, where they actually used, if you watch that movie, the video that you may have seen in the US was not the original. It was the second video they had to end up shooting. Because the first was a little bit risque and controversial. But in the movie Body Double, they kind of almost recreate that video for that movie. So if you haven't seen that movie, check it out. I mean, it's a cheesy 80s movie. It's pretty fun. But you could see the recreation of that video. It's in there as well. This group really didn't have another hit. However, off of this album, Welcome to the Pleasure Dome, there is another song. It's called Two Tribes. If by chance you've never heard that, take a listen to that one. That is a very good song as well. I really love that one. So take a listen to that one. A friend of mine, when I saw him in college, he told me he went to their concert they had in South Florida when they were popular. He says they had so little material. Holly Johnson, the lead singer, played this song like 3 times in a row and said, "Oh, that was so good. Let's do it again." And his reaction was, "Okay, can we move on to something else?" He liked it. He was just like, yeah, they didn't have much, so they ended up playing this song a couple times in concert. It's like, okay. When you don't got much, you play what you have, I guess. And now I want to come to another group. This is this group was not a one-hit wonder. They had a couple of hits. The one I'm going to play you was probably not one of the most known ones that they did. The more ones I know was Look of Love. But this one is the one I consider better, and this is the one I wanted to showcase as part of the new romantic early MTV British Invasion sound. So let's take a quick listen right now.
Secret, but you know just what to do, or where to keep it. Then I say I love you, foul a situation. Hey girl, I thought we were the right combination. Who broke my heart?
That was Poison Arrow by ABC. Now, as I said before, this comes on Lexicon of Love. Their first album came out in 82. Again, this was one of the earlier ones that they made videos with the wild, colorful style. I do remember the video for this song, Poison Arrow. Very told a story. It wasn't just the band performing. They wanted to do skill. They wanted to have put a performance or put a picture out for everything. They did, like I said, Look of Love, and also there's another one that was just slipping my mind. And they also even did one even later on in the 80s, Smokey Sings. So they were around for a while, and they still perform, at least the lead singer, whenever he gets a new group of musicians together around him. They go out on tour every now and then. But they're definitely a more new romantic, more than a new wave type sound. And this was another big, and I really don't think they would have been as popular had they had the visual medium to put them out for everybody to see. Now, as we went on in time, the American record labels discovered the mistake they had made. Besides their blinding greed, they realized, okay, we'll give them the videos. I mean, we would like them to pay, but it's going to make us more money promoting our artists and making more record sales. So eventually they started giving in. They started making more videos. They started giving them to MTV. The artists in here, like Devo, which is an American artist, which really didn't fit into my discussion here, definitely benefited from MTV. You know, Whip It, obviously. Everybody remembers that video. You have more American underground groups or just starting out that had a lot more exposure than they had ever had before. You did have the flip side of this, where some of the American singer-songwriters didn't do as well because they didn't want to do videos or didn't think they showed a good image of themselves on TV. Or like Christopher Cross, who had just done an amazing album in 1980 where he won Record of the Year and top 10 hits and everything, kind of like fell right off the planet. And he said since that he doesn't blame them, but he just didn't think he was a visual artist and didn't want to participate in that style. Now, some of your harder rock bands didn't do them because they didn't think it was part of their image, so they didn't do them, like your classic rock bands. Some did. Tom Petty did. He jumped right in. He started making all those wild and crazy videos, you know, Don't Come Around Here No More, with the cutting the cake shaped like Alice. The futuristic, you know, dystopian one where he's around in that weird little car. So he jumped in. He had no problem doing it. Then you had Rod Stewart started from the beginning. That was one of the ones they had a ton of videos for because, you know, Rod Stewart just likes Rod Stewart. So he was happy to plaster it from here to the end of time. He didn't care. So, but as you went on, I mean, they started to catch up. And then eventually, after some arm twisting, they got MTV dropped, "Oh, we are a rock station." I'm not going to get into that. But yes, that was a very big mistake, and some very big problems with the way they handled it. Just ask Mark Goodman being interviewed or being put through the ringer by David Bowie. It was not one of their prouder moments. But then Michael Jackson came in and him and Madonna took over. They pushed music into the completely different direction, into the 80s music that we all know and love. Now, as Michael Jackson started to come out, there was one more huge British invasion, one-hit wonder, that I just have to play. The reason I'm playing this is, when I was in college, I started my, I want to be nostalgic for the 80s early. I remember in 91, 92, wanting to find some of these records because I wanted to make a mixtape of this music because it wasn't really actually even played yet. People hadn't decided. It wasn't even 10 years old. Why are we nostalgic for something that's hardly 10 years old? And I went out and searched for this song, and we found this one and two other ones, my friends, in a used 45 shop somewhere in Myrtle Beach. So these are the ones I ended up making. And when I came home one night to the townhouse I shared with my roommates, I remember playing this in the garage and them telling me the next morning, yeah, you woke us up playing that stuff. Yeah, I kind of thought we had gone back in time. So let me give you a quick listen. That was, of course, Come On, Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. So, at that point, you see what was happening. MTV had a full-fledged, by 84, music had changed. You had combinations of American and British artists, and there was a lot more British influence because people, that's what they had liked listening to. So, as the time went on, MTV kept doing that and playing the videos, and the production of the videos got better, the money spent on videos got better, record companies were making money hand over fist, so they're pouring money into videos to make more money, and you know, the cycle was going on and on. But MTV began to notice that this didn't seem like this was going to be a viable solution for the rest of their lives. They already had started to see by the end of the 80s that just playing all music videos 24 hours a day was probably not going to work for them. They had already started to introduce shows, game shows, remote control, stuff like that. They had already started to slowly slide in different content. Then they really started sliding in with The Real World, completely different content. I will admit, the first two seasons of The Real World I liked. I remember watching them, enjoying them. If I had known what it was going to lead to, I might not have. But I guess in the end, it doesn't matter. As each generation ages and gets older, things change. It was going to happen no matter what. I've seen recently, everybody talks about, they want MTV to go back and play music. I just don't think that's viable anymore. Actually, you don't even need them. You have YouTube, and you can put your own list of videos, so you don't have to deal with, if you have an ad blocker, you don't have to deal with ads on YouTube, but you can pick your old playlist and listen to them that way, and you don't have to deal with creative or ones you don't like here and there and stuff like that. So yes, the MTV, especially in the 80s, was a very big influence on popular music and culture and the style and everything. It was just, that was obvious. So they kept going on, music kept changing, and I miss it. I do miss it, but I mean, I can recreate it now, so I'm not like I want them to go back because I know they never will. I just never watch them anymore because there's only so much Jersey Shore you can take, and mine's probably at zero. VH1 was like that for a while, and then they went the same way as MTV, so now there's nothing there. Like I said, if you want your videos, you go make your own playlist on YouTube or Vimeo, and you do good. Like I said, I am going to have a link in my show notes about my playlist I had done for this before, the New Wave, New Romantic Sound of the early 80s, Second British Invasion. There's a book out there called I Want My MTV, about the MTV revolution of the 80s. There's some great stories in that. I definitely suggest you check it out. It's fun. Now, they also did a documentary on A&E a couple of weeks ago about the early MTV times. Again, well done. It's amazing if you see how much work actually went into that. It was just crazy. To the night with the, when they premiered the show, all the VJs, they had to go into New Jersey because, shoot, they were broadcasting from Manhattan, but Manhattan didn't have it on their cable service yet, so they had to go to New Jersey to watch in this little rundown bar in the bottom floor to watch the launch of the videos. And somebody put the tapes in wrong, and Alan Hunter, after Mark Goodman's introduction, Alan Hunter was actually your first host when it should have been Mark Goodman because they flip-flopped the tapes that they put into the machine. It's just stuff like that you don't even think about that just, it amazes me. So, yeah. There's good times. There's the story about a Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller. When they wanted that made, the company went to MTV, well, you're going to have to pay us for this video. And they're like, well, we don't pay for videos. So what they struck up a convenient little arrangement. They paid for the behind-the-scenes making of Thriller, and the record company threw Thriller in as a bonus. So we didn't pay for the video, but they paid for the video because they got this extra content to justify not breaking their rules or what they thought was the most important thing they should do. So anyways, that was my little jaunt down the early part of MTV and the early part of the British Invasion, which changed music the way to we all remember it. Next week, I will go back and do another one of my little countdowns. We're almost through with 1980. And as you will see, once we hit 81, which is I kind of talked about in here, the changes started to kick in. A little less light, a little less ballady, and a little less country crossover. Once again, I want to thank you all for giving me a listen. I do appreciate you. And if you want, just drop me a line at the email that's listed in the show notes. And you all have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.